Judges chapter 6 speak about and teach us steps of how revival will take place. Speak about the calling of God to Gideon, and we will learn good things from the life of that man that had been called by God in a very critical period in the life of the Israelites to lead the revival. Gideon was the fifth judge when they entered the promised land. And Book of Judges chapter 6, if you read from verse 1 onward to verse 34, you can understand how the people of God, they were under bondage because they had done sin and wrong, as the church today is sinning today and under bondage. And how God initiated revival, and how we need as a church, we need as individuals, parents, family members, workers in God's vineyard to respond to God in leading us to do the revival needed. Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this time you give us. We magnify you, we adore you. And not my lips, and put scriptures and verses to let your word teach us your ways. I pray for him in our heart and mind. I pray that your words will be clear. Speak to each and every one of us in a clear way. Give us precise assignments to do, O God. I pray there will be bondage will be broken tonight. Direction will be given to your church of how we need to act at this time. I pray in the name of Jesus, the certain issues and problems that we are facing, I pray that your word tonight will bring healing, salvation, and deliverance. Let be, Lord, whatever the purpose of sending this word to your church shall be accomplished. Take it and make it separate not only here, to other places that your church is expanding. We thank you, God, and we bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read from verse 1, Judges chapter 6. Still, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. So here, after doing evil, God allowed his church, his people, to be under slavery, under bondage of non-believers, enslaving them, taking advantage of them because they were not faithful to God. Even in the church today, when we are not faithful to God, God allow us to be controlled by evil doers. Verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strong holds. Because they were so followed by the Midianites, the people of God, they were hiding in the caves, strongholds, caves, dens, so that they would not be caught by their enemies. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. So when they saw a seed, whatever field they saw, rice, corn, wheat, the enemy will come to take what is the harvest. So they were after them. They would not take anything, they would not keep anything for them. They get the blessing, at once it will be flown away. That is sign of God's displeasure. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. They took everything and left them without sustenance. To sustain them, basic things are not there available for them. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without numbers, and they entered into the land to destroy it. They came in a huge army to destroy the land, destroy the blessing, and God allowed it to take place, because His people, they have sinned, they have done wrong, and still they are not aware that the situation that they are in because of their sin. You know, certain time, when God spunk, we are quiet. We are not aware that God is spunking us because of our sin. And when we are not aware, God will allow more. Until verse 6, it says that Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianite, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. He wanted to cry. They will feel really the pain. And He does not want them to cry right and left. They cry unto the Lord. The trial and the discipline will continue until we turn back toward God and cry unto Him. That is what His aim. So we will be realizing that what is taking place because of our shortcomings. In verse 7, when they cry to God, Lord help us, Lord save us, Lord solve our problem, yeah? They want from God's solution to come out from this enemy. In verse 7, it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, verse 8, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of the bondage. Now here when they cry to God, God did not do deliverance at once. God did not remove the enemy. God sent them a prophet, a man, who spoke to them what is the causes of what they are suffering and passing through. That's where the Bible study, that's where the church starts to teach the people what is the cause of their suffering. Give them the reason of the sickness, the reason of the problem, the root cause, why all this have taken place. So the prophet starts to speak to them, God had brought you out of Egypt. You were before like this bondage in Egypt. God brought you out. And verse 9, he said, I deliver you out of the hand of the Egyptian and out of the hand of all that oppress you and drive them out from before you and give you their land. He told them, I did all this. Those who oppress you, I taken away. Those who are here in this land, I drive them out and I put you there instead of their place. And verse 10, and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Their sin is that they did not obey the voice of God. He told them, don't fear other God, but when I speak, listen to me. He said, you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. When God speak, stop, get up, go back, repent, forgive, they hear the voice, but they not listen or obey it. So they understood, because they did not obey the voice of God, this all the problems had come upon them. You know, in verse 11, he said that, and there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under the an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abizarite, and his own and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, from speaking about the prophet who came and spoke to plan everything, he started to speak about the angel of God who wanted to appear to Gideon while Gideon was threshing the floor to prepare wheat, hiding it from the Midianites. The Bible did not tell us here how the people responded to that, to the word of God through the prophet. But most likely, after he preached to them, there was some sort of repentance. That's why God sent his angels, his angel, to the Gideon to start the deliverance. Because if the people would not respond, God will not take also initiative to help. When there is a repentance, then there is also hope, because that is the time that God will have also mercy on us. When the teaching sessions stopped and people repent, God moved to the next stage for revival. He sent his word to call one among them who is going to do that ministry that God wanted to take place. What was doing Gideon? Gideon was working in his father's house. He was living there in his father's house. He was working in the threshing floor of his father. And he was threshing the wheat for their food. And he was hiding. He was doing it in the summer tree so no one would watch. He was hiding there so that the Midianites would not come and take the food from him up to this point. Their daily food, they cannot secure. It may be taken away from them. You know, in my country, say there's a proverb say that from the chicken to the moth, the eggs. You know the egg? They are waiting for the chicken in the morning. It's coming, there's egg, who would take it? Up to this point. In verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. What a nice greeting he greeted him. The Lord is with you. You should be happy, right? Yeah, many today they will say, Christian, God is with you, and the other people they will say Amen. But let us see what Gideon answered. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? If God is with us, why are all these problems on us? You see, we need to be honest. We need to be honest. Now, when problems are increasing, there is something wrong need to be dealt with. You know, even the Lord told Gideon, God is with you, you man of valor, he is honest. He says, yes, correct, God is with us, but if you're really with us, why I am suffering in such a way that even I cannot secure the food that I am working for? That is the first question. Second question, and where be all his miracles which our fathers taught us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. He told them, now the Lord forsaken us, because well, the other miracles that we have here, our forefathers have taught us. So there's two questions Gideon addressed to the Lord. In verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? See, God didn't answer the question. Many questions, sometimes God will not answer at once. But God confirmed to him, go mighty man, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel. He told him, God will use it to save Israel. Also in verse 15, Gideon asked another question. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He said, how I can save Israel? I am the least in Manasseh, and my father's house is very small. How then I will do this? This is the third question. And the Lord said unto him in verse 16, surely I'll be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Come, I'll be with you, and you do it. And he said unto him, Gideon was happy with this all word that he's receiving from God. God is speaking to him. If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Let me know that that is real, not imagination. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. He told him, you please you stay, I will come and bring you gift. Where they start the devotion between man and God. God revealed himself, and man is gracious and faithful. He wants to bless God, give what is due to the Lord. And Gideon went in, he told him, okay, you go. And Gideon went in and make ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket. And he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he said, and he did so. He told him, take it to this rock. There was a rock. He showed him the place that he needed to give his offering to the Lord, and he did it. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the feet, and touched the flesh, and then even the cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh, and then even cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. It was a very wonderful things that has taken place, like a personal devotion between God and then between Gideon and the angel of the Lord. You know, when Gideon asked the Lord, where are the miracles that our father have taught us? We are not seeing now. What the angel of the Lord showed him when he put the offering and he put his staff and he make a fire, that was a wonderful thing, unexpected. And when the angel disappeared also, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O my Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. All this was a wonderful experience that Gideon was passing through. And Gideon now, he is a good character. First, he is honest, right? He's an honest person. He describes what he's seeing honestly to the Lord. And second, he's a man who loves to give to God, who loves to honor God. And now he's realizing that what his questions are being answered one way or another. Because when he said to the angel, where are the miracles that our father taught us? And when the angel of the Lord assured him that he would be using him, he said, okay, please wait, I will go and present my gift and my present to you. So there is some interaction, gratefulness and faithfulness in the heart of Gideon towards God. And when he realized it was the angel of the Lord, he was afraid because he see God. The angel of the Lord is mean God himself in the Old Testament. He was afraid. The angel assured him, peace be with you. And, you know, in verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the right. He make an altar, he called the altar Jehovah Shalom, mean God of peace. Amen. So he received at that day peace from the Lord. He was assured that God is with him. But the problem is still not yet solved. And also the first question not yet answered. If God is with us, why all these things befallen unto us? Do you believe that God answered our questions? Some people, they want God to answer their prayers. But do you ask God questions? Have God answered your questions? The first question that Gideon asked God, if God is with us, where? Then why does all this happen to us? Now God will answer this question of Gideon in verse 25. He said that, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had, and cut down the groove that is in by it. That is, this verse is the answer of the first question to Gideon. God did not tell him this happens to you because your father have altar of Baal and you are living there, and you are working there, and you are eating there, but you are not opening your mouth against that idol that your father has put in the house. Indirectly, you told him, you go, take the bullock, the young bullock, the second one, and throw down the altar of Baal. So you have to break something. And also cut down the groove. The groove is the middle of the groove is a garden, trees, flowers. Usually around the heathen altars, they will plant grooves, plant small gardens, nice flowers, smell in it, so that the appearance will be attractive for other to come. And God say to his people, in the book of Deuteronomy, he said to them, you should not plant grove beside my altar. I don't want you to add attraction things when you are doing ministry. Food, girls inviting you, music, disco light, all these effects, accessory things to make the people attractive to the Lord. He say, I don't need such things. God wants us to use His word to bring His people back in the right way that God wants them to be. Now, that instruction that God gives to Gideon was the test for Gideon if he is fit person to that through him revival would take place. Because basically, the whole problem, it was because the people, they worship Baal. That's all the problem. All the problem because the people, they worship their Facebook, they worship PDS, They worship the YouTube. They worship money. They worship their job. They worship their profession. And God wants their heart back to Him. The word Baal is husband. And it's also an Arabic word. When you say Baal, it means man, husband. A woman who is married, she will say Baal, it means this is my husband. Jesus is our husband. And when we love things more than Him, or we love things that we should not love, then we are bringing Baal into our hearts, and we are building altars for Baal. And that's why God is displeased with us and bring bondages in our lives. See here, verse 26, He explained to him more what you need to do. Cut down, or this one demolish. In verse 25 we have read that throw down the altar and cut down, throw down and cut down. Construction going on, demolishing is there. Wrong principle, idol worship. And verse 26, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. Right here, you know what you told him? Upon the top of this rock. Which rock? You know which rock? The same rock that when he brought the flesh and the blood, he told him, put it there on this rock, put the flesh, put the blood over it, and he gets the staff from his hand, and he touched by the tip of the staff, fire came out from the burnt offering. He say, I want you to build altar on the same rock. Your message is correct. I like it. Okay? But I want to know, it's not only you do it, but I want you to do something different. The same place, the same what you offer, but the composition of what you're going to do is different. He say, build an altar unto the Lord your God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer it burnt sacrifice with the wood of the groove which thou shalt cut down. You say, I want the second bullock. You offer it as a burnt offering, but I want you to burn in this place everything I accept, but I want to use the wood. After you burn the bad altar of your father, you need to cut the groove around it and use the wood to burn the second block of your father in the same place. If you can do it, you are fit for the ministry. Can he offer the bullock with other wood? He told him, you cut it and use the wood to burn. So what do you want him to do, God? He wants him to be in a clash and rebelliousness to what his father instituted of idol worship. Now here speaking about revival. How revival would take place if bondages in our own houses, idol worship in our own houses, the heart of our children, the heart of our parents, the heart of our wives, the hearts of our husbands is bound with things that against God. And we know it very well, and we are quiet about it. How we can go and evangelize to others? God wants confrontation. He wants Gideon to go and confront. You know what's the meaning of Gideon? The meaning of Gideon is a hewer, somebody who can cut or chop or cleave. That means don't go and throw down and cut down. Go and destroy, make it mess. He called Gideon, he called the place Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. But God wants to bring troubles here and there in the house. He'll give him a very hard assignment to do. Does God know what he's doing or no? He knows. Because that is the medicine of the sickness. That is the real problem that needs to be dealt with. Roaming around, keeping the altar of Baal is not touched. There is no revival taking place. There is no blessing. There is no relief or deliverance. Gideon was willing to obey God. In verse 27, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Finally he did it in the night, whatever, but he performed exactly what God wanted from him. Many times we have fear. We have fear from the people, those who are near to us, how they will feel, they get upset, they will fight, they will react. But we forget to hearken to the voice of God. That's where the bondage. When we fear men, fear those who are near to us, we will be susceptible to be under the bondage of the enemy. And this, you know, when he did it, second day the people, when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cut down, and the group was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who had done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city and said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the group that was by it. See now? What he was afraid of? He was afraid of his father. Now the people went to his father to complain, and soon the father will get angry because of what Gideon did. And that's what's always coming to our mind. If we do this, this person or that person will get angry, and then how we will live, how we will work, what is the next step of our life, we will be in a bigger trouble. That's always the fear of man controlling our thoughts. But let us see what God did when we obey Him. Let us see what God will do when you obey Him and don't fear God, but hearken unto Him. He said, I told you don't fear the God of the Amorite, but you did not hearken to my voice. Let us see how the father reacted. And Joshua said unto all that stood against him, will he plead for God? Will he save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a God, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. You know, when Gideon obeyed God, God opened the mind of his father. He realized, if he is a true God, why my son can't break it? And why I need to go and fight for my son? Let him fight himself, if he is a true God. And that's true. See here, when we obey God, God will change the heart of the people. Now how suppose if God will not change the heart of the father of Gideon? What Gideon would need to do also? Will he need to say sorry or I should not do that? No. The point here, we need to please God. Amen? We need to please God. Bondages cannot be delivered out of bondages unless we are willing to confront. Now in this situation, the father was changed. But even if the father will not be changed, or God will not change him, still We need to do what God wants us to do. Have we tried? Or you are just living in the fear? Have you tried? You try to obey God. Do the instruction that God wants you to do. And see how you will work it out. Amen? Don't rely on your own understanding. What is the command? Cut the altar of your father. Give me the second bullet. Cut the rope. Use the wood to burn it here in this place. No change of ministry, but the composition. Your commitment and where is your heart and what you need to do, that will be a different. In verse 32, therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying that Baal fled against him because he had thrown down his altar. Now here, on that day, the father of Gideon changed the name of his son. His son was Gideon. It means the one who chopped, the one who cleaved, the one who cut. He changed him to Jerubbaal, the one who is content with Baal, the one who fight with Baal. Because he realized that God had called this man. In verse 33, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. They came to fight. And let's read verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And here, when the test was finished, Gideon was done with his assignment. The most difficult part, he passed successfully. When the enemy came, God allowed it. Now he does not need to fight with his own flesh. The Holy Spirit will fight on him. The Spirit of God fall on him. And we know that after that, when the Holy Spirit comes, we don't need to fight. He will fight for us. But we need to cultivate how we will invite the Holy Spirit in our battles and what the things that we need to obey, so the Holy Spirit will go ahead of us and do the work. The third question of Gideon, he said, how I will save Israel? I am the least in Manasseh and I am the least in my father's house. We will be able to fight the battle, not by our own strength, but why? By the Holy Spirit. He will be the one to do the ministry. When we do our assignment, the basic things that God wants us to do. Link the message with the New Testament, with the teaching of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, I don't know what the Lord wanted to do, but there are altars of Baal that need to be overthrown tonight. You will go home, God will speak to you. You need to cut down the groups, bring your tithes and first fruits and burnt offering to the Lord. After you do the assignment, it will be acceptable, then the Holy Spirit will come. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34 to 37, the Lord says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. When Gideon say, Jehovah Shalom, God of peace, or God is my peace, when you obey, He's your peace. He's peace. But when there is disobedience, He's a sword. For I am come to set a man and variance against his father. And the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Exactly what was going on in the house of Gideon. The house of Gideon was at variance. Gideon and his father, there will be confrontation. Idols, finally at the end of the day, God wanted to be removed from their midst. So revival will come, the Holy Spirit will come, then the mystery will continue. In Luke chapter 14, we need to be effective worker, like Gideon, zero bad. He has a target. We should have target today. Which altar of idol worship we need to break tonight? We need to have a group of people who are one mind. Like Gideon, he took 10 servants with him and did the work faithfully. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. We need to love Jesus more than anything. Amen? We need to put Christ first, more than our near relative, and that's where God wants us to break all the cultural and traditional practices that we inherited from our forefathers, even our forefathers in faith, but they are not based on the Bible. Still we need to break them, because they are altar of Baal, of foreign God, but we have our husband Jesus Christ. He's waiting for us. Amen? He does not want us to go to others. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, the Lord say, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, when we love God, love Christ more than other people, surely there is some hatred. Because we love them more. We love Christ more. There is some sort of jealousy and hatred. But what I want to say here, when we hate them based on this way, we are truly loving them. When we hate them in the standard of this world, yeah, we are truly start to love them in a constructive way to bring them to Christ. As Gideon loved his father and brought him to back to God. That's what I was saying. Let us repent of our sin. Let us be sensitive to what God is telling us. God is showing you an altar of Baal, idol worship, need to be broken tonight. Even if you are afraid, that's not an excuse. You need to do it. God is with you. The God of peace will be with you as you obey. Don't be intimidated because the people will be in trouble because of you. No. Jesus said, I don't come to bring peace to those who worship idol. I came to bring sword. Be willing to obey the Lord. God, I pray, if your word tonight, to bring revival, raise up people. Oh Lord, here in this congregation and the rest of the church congregation and wherever this message is moving, I pray in the name of Jesus, raise up people of God, willing to do exactly, precisely the instruction given to them. Raise up honest people to save you. Lord, take the message and let me bear the fruit. Oh God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Lift your hand with us and Lord, free us from harm so that we will not feel pain. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all. In Jesus' name. Amen.